You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast with Pastor Adam Powers. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join Pastor Adam for this week's message.
Today we will be going through Psalm 29 as it was just read for us. And the title for this sermon is The Sovereign Voice of Glory. The voice of the Lord sovereignly reigns that all may cry glory. This psalm is unlike any other we have gone through in our Psalm Summer Series. Psalm 29 is solely about worship. It is a victory psalm which gives us vocabulary to worship the God of creation. It was originally recited after the battle. It was a poetic masterpiece full of repetition and parallelism to drive home its emphasis. In this psalm, the Lord occurs 18 times. In the middle section, the Lord appears in the phrase, the voice of the Lord, 7 times. The author David recalls a ferocious storm where he recognized the power of the majesty of God. My purpose this morning is to convince you that the sovereign God is alone worthy of praise and is strengthening and comforting his people in life's storms. In order to properly understand this text, we'll need to familiarize ourselves with Baal. Baal is Lord of the Canaanite religion and is seen in the thunderstorms. The word Baal occurs in the Old Testament as a noun meaning lord, owner, possessor, or husband. As a proper noun, it refers to the supreme god of the Canaanites. And often as the name of a man. Do you see the resemblance to Jesus as Lord, the husband, and the God-man? How Baal was ascribed attributes reserved only for God. This contrast is seen in the wordplay that is heavily emphasized in our passage today. We will take Psalm 29 in 3 sections. First, we'll go through Psalm 29, 1 and 2. It is a call to worship. Verse 3 to 9 is the reason for worship. And verse 10 and 11, affirmation of worship. Before we dive in, let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have spoken, that you give us words to praise you with, as David praises you, Lord. We thank you that you call us to worship. Lord, out of the darkness of our sin, you have brought us to light. Father, I pray that we would see the light of your glory in this passage. I pray that you would awaken our hearts to your glory, that we would ascribe to you the glory to your name, that we would leave here in worship of you with the peace of your sovereign hand. So be with us in Jesus' name. Psalm 29, verse 1 to 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Verse 1a is a description of these heavenly beings. It is not a call for us to worship. You see here, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. The psalm opens with the heavenly being or angels being called upon to praise God. We might wonder, isn't that what angels are to be doing constantly? We may ask why David calls upon the angels to worship then. I believe a twofold answer is in view. David feels that his praise is not adequate. David, being overwhelmed by the majesty in the storm that is going to be described for us in a later section, needs help to praise God adequately. That all creation must cry out in glory. David appeals to the angels, teaches us something about worship. The appeal describes praise of God consisting of two things: ascribing glory to him, that is acknowledging his supreme worth and with our minds and worshiping or bowing down to him. A Hebrew word for worship means to bow down, which means a subordination of our wills and minds to his. So what the angels are doing naturally, we must learn to do. If the glory of God is to make its proper impact upon us, and we are to worship him properly. Notice where the praise is directed. It is directed towards the Lord's name, which was a source of strength and victory for Israel. Piper said, mission exists because worship doesn't. The supreme purpose of our salvation is to worship and glorify God. Our good is his glory. The Lord is worthy. Verse 1, verse B, ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. The glory of God can be difficult to describe. It is the weightiness of who God is. John Piper puts it like this: the glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. It is the going public of his holiness. You see, God alone is worthy of such a description. You see how missions incorporates itself into this, that going forth of his glory. That is what missions about, the going forth of God's glory. God and the creator of the universe is all powerful. We worship and marvel at his power and strength, which David describes in further detail later in the psalm. And the call to ascribe glory and strength to God is a call for our minds to adore God in praise and worship. You see in verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. God alone is worthy of glory. He will not share his glory with another. His glory is the purpose of his creation and the motivation of his action. We can say it another way. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Or where do we ascribe glory apart from God? Where do we place weight apart from God? In the second half of the verse says, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. This verse can be misunderstood. It can be seen as the splendor of our holiness or the splendor of God's holiness. But what is description is the splendor of holiness can be described as the holy attire or holy array. This means that the holiness ascribed to God should also belong to its worshipers. All holiness must derive from God. You see, the angels are arrayed in their holy attire. Like the angels, we should be arrayed in holiness, the holiness of Christ. As we worship, it must be in holiness. God will not accept worship that is covered in sin. He accepts holy worship. And then the second section that we'll cover is the reason for worship. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. This section gives the reason for worship. Or to put it another way, the foolishness of ascribing God's glory to another. Seven times the Lord's voice is referred to explicitly in this section, and it forms the central focus. The repetition of God's voice is the thundering, the poetry, the sound of his voice thundering over the people. The storm is described as beginning over the waters, as we see in the beginning of this section, and it comes onto land and it bringing destruction. We may be able to sympathize with this as we experience the hurricanes over the water as they come onto land, laying forth destruction. This image is what is in view. And we as Floridians know this all too well, unfortunately. Verse 3 and 4. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Notice the resemblance to Baal, the Canaanite weather god, whose voice is identified with thunder. But the psalmist, rejecting Baal's identity or deity, adapts the language of the storm and uses it to describe God's glory. It is not Baal who thunders, but the God of glory. He is the God of glory. He is powerful and majestic. You see, what the angels see clearly, we have a hard time seeing because we are stained with sin. I'm going to read for you Romans 1, 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. You see how the psalm describes the creation order that is visible to us, that we clearly see God as creator. But, sorry, I lost my place. Have been made so they knew God, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. You see, the Israelites often lived this life, ascribing glory to false gods, ascribing glory to Baal, running after the idols of the foreign land. Here, David seeks to align their focus to Yahweh, to Jehovah, to the Lord, that the Lord alone is worthy of glory, that the Lord alone is worthy of being attributed glory, power, and majesty. How do you ascribe God's glory to another? How has sin blinded you from worshiping God? Or put it another way, how has his sin stolen your joy in God? See, that's what sin does. It robs our joy in God because we give it to another. Do you value the praise of man over being obedient to the Lord? Do you grumble in the storm? Or do you worship the Lord? See, David, in the storm, he redirects his attention to glory of God. But often we find ourselves grumbling in life storms. Verse 5 and 6. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. You see here, David takes two symbols of power and strength that he has described to praise God with earlier. He demonstrates this by the cedars. This is David's illustration of power and strength that God should be attributed. And the mountain areas of Lebanon and Syrian are illustrated in this poetry, the weakness of those great symbols of strength in the relationship to the Lord's strength. You see, these cedars snap. See, I brought a pencil with me today, okay? This pencil is very frail. And if I'm to ask everyone in here, who can break this pencil? I don't believe a hand would not be raised, okay? But if I were to ask you, who can break this pencil with their voice? with the power of their voice, whose hands would be raised? See, no one can be ascribed the glory to our God. He alone is creator. He alone is powerful over the forces of our world. He alone is worthy of the glory due his name. Too often we praise mere man for their acts of glory in sports, in movies, all over the place. But we have a hard time praising our God. What a greater movie, what a greater description of glory than his creation. What poetry we find in the Psalms to describe of his glory, to worship him. And yet we give our worship to others. Yet we ascribe strength to mere false gods. So you see, we often believe we are in control, that we have power over our lives. Then when trial comes or something unplanned happens, we can be tossed like the trees of Lebanon. Where do we seek stability and strength apart from God? Do you take pride in America or Canada, as we saw on the where the kids are go, the little Canadian flag? I saw you sneak that in there, David. Do you rely on your spouse or your kids for joy and stability? Do you rely upon your work and the financial peace? Do you fear the unknown or the future or even the past, not giving it over to God and trusting in his grace to comfort you? Over our sovereign God alone is worthy of worship and is strengthening and comforting his people through life storms. When we hear and believe in the mighty voice of the Lord, we will be able to weather the storm. Continuing in verse 7 to 9, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. As the power of the storm is described as laying waste to everything it touches, we hear a cry of glory. It is because the stones have cried out, or because man has seen God move and praises him for it. Has your heart been shaken? Do you hear the warning signs? Do you hear the thunder in the distance and take shelter? Or does your pride make you believe that you are safe while destruction is looming? The power of God and the majesty of God seen should result in praise of God. The Hebrew word for glory means weight or heaviness. As the weight of the storm is felt, so we should feel the weight of a holy God sovereignly enthroned over his creation. If you have placed your faith in Christ, the judgment and condemnation described is for you. If you have not placed your faith in Christ, the condemnation is described for you. Repent, you foolish, and repent of your foolishness, and worship the Creator, Jesus, who is the Word, who created all things, seen in John chapter 1. And yet, Philippians 2:6-11 states this: He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, this is all summed up in Christ. He came down from heaven to redeem his people so that we may worship him properly as the angels do in heaven. So that we can be clothed in the holy attire of Christ's righteousness. Not by our works, not by our meager efforts. Have you worshiped or bowed down to the sovereign Lord? For he alone is worthy. For those who have their hope and blessing to be seen in the final section, for those who have trusted in Christ, there's more hope to come in this final section. Psalm 29, 10 to 11 is the affirmation of worship. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. We see in verse 10a, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. He is ruling over the chaos. You see how he sits enthroned over the flood? This is the same word used for the flood of Noah. And the readers would recognize the similar language describe how the Lord is king and ruling over creation and his glory. How he sits enthroned over judgment. How he sits enthroned over creation and all the acts of creation. They would see how he is king. How he is the only king worthy of our glory. In verse 10b, we see the Lord sits enthroned as king forever. He was not only the king of the flood in Noah's time, he was not only the king of creation, but he is the king today and forever. He is not ruling for just the here and now. He has ruled, continues to rule, and will always rule over all. We are all subject to his sovereign hand, and all will bow and worship, whether here or on judgment day. If our Savior was only ruling while on earth, we would be without hope. The fact that the Lord sits enthroned forever brings hope that our joy in his glory will always be seen and worthy of worship. It's not just worthy of worship now, it will always be and will continue to be because he reigns and he rules. This should comfort us while life is chaotic at times. Some of our lives right now are chaotic. Some of us have been faced with difficulties and trials, and we see no hope in these things. We don't lift our eyes to the glory of God in the trial. You see, Job, when he was faced with the trial, where did he turn? To worship. To worship. And his wife said, "How foolish are you? Curse God and die." See, often us in the church say we would encourage our brother like Job's wife. In the midst of this storm, where is God at? He is here in the storm. He is ruling the storm. He has brought the storm. Do you believe? Do you trust him? Is his glory your aim? Or is your glory your aim? Is your discomfort too displeasing to you that you revolt in anger towards God? Or you ask, how can this glorify you? How can I live that I may glorify you? How can I walk that I may glorify you through this trial? He's ruling forever. If our Savior was only, though Christ appeared to be defeated, he rose to reign. And those who are in Christ will one day rise to raise with him in glory. There is hope. There is hope because in Christ, we will be ruling and reigning with him. Where's hope for us? We have hope of the future glory because we will be arrayed in the holy attire. What a glorious thing we see, the hope of a sovereign God. A God who is not sovereign is not worthy of praise. A God who is not sovereign is not worthy of worship. A God who is not sovereign over life's afflictions, we cannot find hope in. But a sovereign God we can find hope in the midst of our trial. The Lord is benefactor, or the gift giver, in verse 11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. He is granting power. You see how the Lord gives freely his power to his people? This power is not for all, but it is to strengthen the weak, uplift the lowly. His power is often seen most when the storm is overhead. When we reflect on the storm, we recognize that it was the Lord's power that brought us through. Verse 11b, he is granting peace. Remember, Psalm 29 is a victory psalm that was read after returning from battle. They were in peace, but they needed to recognize and worship the Lord for granting this peace and not to be puffed up. You see, when we come through storms that the Lord has brought us through, we often depart from our dependence upon God in the storm. You see, in the storm, we're used to crying out. We're used to asking God for help. We're used to asking him when things are difficult. That's what we know to do. But when we come through the storm, our pride puffs up. We don't lift up our Bibles. We stop attending church because we're back to our comfort zone. And our idols have been re-raised, the cedars that the Lord has stripped bare in our heart, the pride that the Lord has torn down through his salvation, continue to re-uproot. We need his power to put to death sin in our heart. We need his peace to walk in victory. And we must be dependent upon him for all of life. Not just in the storm, but in the blessing of victory that he gives us over our sin. What peace we have of knowing that God is in control. When all seems chaotic, when the storms are hovering, when life is difficult, we need only look to our God, and he will bless us with peace. Remember Jesus' words in John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is the one reigning and ruling. He has overcome the world because he overcame sin and darkness. Are you trusting in him for your salvation? Are you trusting in him for your righteousness and holy attire? Or are you trying to work to earn your favor before God? In conclusion, we have seen through our text today that the sovereign God is alone worthy of worship and is strengthening and comforting his people in life's storms. As we descend from the heavenly courts of praise in the beginning to the visible attributes of God seen in creation, to the cry of glory, we recognize that we were made to be worshipers. Worshipers of the Creator, not the creation. We recognize that man has fallen to praise the creation rather than the Creator. We have seen the hope of Christ who descended out of heaven to the earth, that he may save his people from the bondage of sin to redeem them to himself. We recognize that we have tremendous blessing by trusting in a sovereign God. We recognize that when the final call is taken up, we will join the heavenly choir in worship of our Lord. Until then, we are to be spreading this glory by sharing the gospel wherever we go and announcing the victory that can be found in Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.